You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Julie Kane. In that last piece, William B. Gould IV pointed out that freelancing is nothing new. Well, in 1885, musicians in San Francisco organized. They formed the Musicians Union, Local 6. This makes musicians temporary employees of some of the venues where they play. That means they can get union help negotiating their pay and working conditions. But since the 1970s, union membership has been falling. KALW's Shireen Adel tells us why.
This is the Golden Gate Park Band. They play almost every Sunday afternoon at the Spreckles Temple of Music, more commonly known as the Band Show. Musicians come and go, but the band's been around since 1882. Mark Niemoyten has been playing with them for more than 20 years.
I'm a trumpet player, musician, and music teacher.
This is just one of the gigs he takes to make ends meet.
I freelance sometimes with local symphonies. I play with an R&B band. Church jobs, graduations, weddings, anybody will have me.
Our next composer, Girolamo Frescobaldi, was a very influential musician.
Sometimes he's hired as an independent contractor, and sometimes as an employee. For this gig, he's an employee. That's because everyone in this band has to join San Francisco's Musicians Union, Local 6. Dues are $200 a year, and for people like Niemoyten, having regular work is worth the cost of membership.
You know, for a freelance musician, you like to have those steady things that you can count on.
He can earn up to $2,500 a year with this band. And his union dues mean the band pays into a pension fund, keeps track of rehearsal hours, and gives him job security. If he can't make a gig with them, he doesn't lose his job.
They tend to have better working conditions because it's spelled out in the contract.
The problem is, steady union gigs like this are hard to come by. They're usually with bigger groups that have regular seasons, like the symphony, the opera, or the ballet. Competition is steep, and when someone gets a position, they keep it. So for some musicians, being in the union doesn't always pay off.
If I get a gig and I need to be in union, I'll join. But if I don't have any union gigs, I don't think about the union. My name is Anthony Blea, and I'm a professional violinist and teacher. I'm just hustling, trying to make a living playing music, you know.
Blea takes union gigs on occasion, but unlike Niemoyten, he doesn't think keeping up his membership in the union is really worth it. He only does it if the job requires it. Most of the time, he plays non-union gigs. Like the ones he books for his charanga band, Anthony Blea y su charanga.
There needs to be some flexibility because of the types of gigs that that musicians get, and there's so many types of musicians.
Blea says getting union contracts for his band would be too much trouble.
You would have to pay union wages and, you know, their union rules. So you're going to use union players, you have to abide by those rules. Otherwise, you get fined.
He'd rather set his own rules.
I don't do clubs with that band anymore because there's going to be a cheaper band that will play for any particular club. And I prefer to pay my musicians what they deserve.
Blea looks for jobs that pay at least $100 for 2 hours of music for each musician in his band. That's about the same as the Golden Gate Park Band members make per gig. But he doesn't want to deal with all the union's terms and conditions.
You know, you have to have breaks every so often for so many minutes per hour. You know, you have to pay people that carry more than one instrument, you know, stuff like that.
But union contracts vary. The only universal requirements are for musicians to be hired as employees and for their employers to write two checks, one for the band and the other for the pension fund. But a lot of musicians don't know how it works, and some people in the union are working to change that.
I'll play this piece by Massenet. It's called Thais.
Joe Gray is on the board of directors of the Musicians Union, and she also happens to be a volunteer here at KALW. As a musician, she plays the violin with a variety of orchestras.
To give a little bit of background, San Francisco used to have one of the biggest unions in the musicians' unions in the country, and every hotel had an orchestra, a band, you know, and dance bands, and it was just really, really thriving, and everything was union.
That's pretty much how it was for the first half of the 20th century. But things started to change in the 1940s. Large orchestras were being replaced by smaller groups, like rock and roll bands and jazz combos. The union was slow to adapt. Black musicians weren't even allowed to join Local 6 until the 1960s. When it came down to it, the union wasn't really representing its community.
So many of them left the union, and the situation today is that in all the bars and clubs that you go into, those musicians are not in the union, and we can't really go in and impose a contract.
The way it works now, union members can take both union and non-union gigs. But if they're hired as independent contractors and something goes wrong, like if a gig is canceled last minute or they don't get compensated for overtime, the union can't do anything to help.
And my particular interest is in trying to address the working conditions of indie musicians who traditionally are not in the musicians' union.
Right now, the most the union can do for non-members is serve as a reference point, a way to learn the lay of the land and to find out how much other musicians get paid for their work. But Gray wants to do more.
It's standing up for musicians' rights and making sure that they have good working conditions.
The union has some clout with the city, and Gray's been going to meetings with San Francisco's Entertainment Commission. They're the ones that regulate entertainment and nightlife.
They spoke about what a, you know, incredibly successful industry that's happening in San Francisco. Unfortunately, the musicians are the only ones that are not really benefiting.
She's been talking to Entertainment Commission representatives about changing that. Like getting special loading zones for equipment or providing affordable rehearsal space. She says there's a lot that can be done. For starters, a census would help everyone get a sense of just how many musicians are working and where.
It's almost as if it's this hidden industry that's under the table, it's not registered, it's not taxed.
But just like other gig workers, you know, people getting work through Uber or TaskRabbit or one of the other apps that are out there, a lot of musicians hold different kinds of jobs. Sometimes taking a low-paying gig is just a way to make a little extra cash.
But it's really undercutting those of us who are trying to make a go of being a professional musician.
And that's always a risk for freelancers and gig workers. If someone is willing to do the same job for less, there's not much anyone can do to stop them. But collectively, if workers wanted a union to represent them, it could make a difference. Here's Mark Niemoyten again.
That's the main benefit, is people banding together and, you know, asking for something that has some teeth. You have something to bargain with. If you're just going in by yourself, you really don't.
It all depends on whether enough workers want the same thing. In San Francisco, I'm Shireen Adil for Cross Currents.